Good morning. Morning. I'm reading today from Mark 8, verses 27 to 29. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'm only reading three verses. And it comes obviously in the middle of a whole lot of context. And I think it would be great if you guys want to go home and look at what comes before, what comes after, because we're only looking at a few verses. Here we go, Mark 8, 27 to 29. Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say you are one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Messiah." We've spent the last year, most of it anyway, on our Sunday mornings, looking at the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching that Jesus gives, this incredible teaching that is showing us how we should live, how we should act, how we should treat other people, but also how we need to be transformed from the inside, from the heart out. And to do that, we need God's help. We need to come to that place where we recognize our need for forgiveness and for a savior. How we need to be transformed to be able to live those lives that glorify God. In Mark chapter 5, verse 19, after healing a demon-possessed man, Jesus tells him to go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. Jesus says to him, go tell what God has done for you. And in Romans 10, verses 13 and 14, Paul tells us why people need to hear about Jesus. He writes, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" He's saying they must be saved by believing in Jesus. And how are they going to believe in Jesus if no one ever tells them? That is the task that Jesus left in his final words to his followers before he ascended to heaven. Go make disciples. Tell people about me. This is the mission, the task that we as the worldwide church, as Cosham Baptist Church, as us as individuals, this is the mission, the task, the purpose for us. So, this passage gives me two questions about sharing Jesus. First question is, who do I say Jesus is? And secondly, who do people say Jesus is because of us? The question, who do you say Jesus is so important. We need to decide what we believe, what we think. It's not just like an intellectual exercise. It's a heart check question about our own beliefs. And what we believe, we know, translates into what we do. And this question, who do you say Jesus is, has implications for sharing Jesus too, because we need to be sure that we're sharing the truth about him, about Jesus, that we know who he truly is. It's no good sharing a version of Jesus that's misguided or worse, just plain wrong. So, my friends, who do you say Jesus is? For each one of us, it's perhaps the most important question that you can ever answer. It's certainly the central question of the Bible. This part, in some ways, you could think of as coming right in the middle of the Bible. Now, if you go through the number of pages, it's obviously not in the middle of the Bible. But everything in the Bible, from the beginning, from creation, right up to Jesus' life at this point, leads up to this question: who do people say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? All the rest of the Bible follows after that question. When Jesus asked his followers who people said he was, they said people thought maybe he was like a reincarnated old prophet, Elijah, one of the other prophets, Obadiah, Jeremiah, no, I can't think. Or perhaps they are getting mixed up between Jesus and John the Baptist. They think maybe they're the same person. C.S. Lewis famously wrote this quote about this question, who we say Jesus is. This, he writes, is the one thing we must not say, that I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. No, that won't do. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. So, as we're thinking about who we say Jesus is, we should go to the source. Who does Jesus say that he is? What does he say about himself? Jesus claims to be one with God the Father. He claims to be part of the Trinity, God the Father, God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For instance, in John 10, verse 30, he says, I and my Father are one. And this is important. He's not claiming to be God the Father. He is claiming to be God the Son. This is the central issue to being a follower of Jesus. It's the ultimate issue that many people cannot accept. Because they'll say, like in that quote, ah, Jesus, he's a great teacher, but I don't believe that he's God. Do you believe Jesus is God? There will be some of us here who, you might even call yourself a Christian, but you're unsure about this statement that Jesus makes himself about himself, that he is God. So, apart from that one where he says, I and my Father are one, where does Jesus say that he's God? Where does he say it in plain language? Well, intriguingly, he never says it in just one simple statement. So if that is what you or your friends who you might be sharing Jesus with want, he never says those words. Why? Because in his Jewish culture, if he had been saying, I am God, people would have thought that he was saying, I am God the Father, who we call God the Father. But that isn't the claim of Jesus. He's telling us something much more interesting, that there are three persons to God, that he is God the Son. About 1,500 years before the time of Jesus, God appears to Moses, and God sends Moses to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to free the Israelites from slavery. Moses says to God, when I speak to the people, who shall I say has sent me? And in Exodus 3, it says, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Notice the repeated use of the phrase, I am. I am sent Moses. God's name is represented by this two-word phrase, I am. God doesn't feel he needs any more explanation than I am. And back to Jesus. In John's gospel, Jesus uses seven metaphors about himself. And they all start with this phrase, I am, I am. Now, you could say, well, that's obvious. If you're going to say something about yourself, you're going to start with the words, I am. But these aren't just any old statements, okay? He says things like this, I am the bread of life, the one who sustains us. I am the light of the world, perhaps referring back to the time of creation where God created light, and it says that nothing was created without Jesus. He says, I am the gate for my sheep. He's saying that there's no way to come to God apart from through him. I am the good shepherd. He cares and loves for us. I am the truth, the way, the life. I am the true vine. Anyone who stays in Jesus is going to be sustained and nourished and grown throughout their life. And Jesus uses these I am statements to really show his character. And the people at the time, they understood what he was saying. They understood that that I am phrase meant something far deeper than it might in our culture, in our language. And we know that to be true because so many times when he made these statements, what was their reaction? They picked up stones to try and kill him. They knew, they even said, we're picking up these stones to kill you because you, a mere man, are claiming to be God. They think it's blasphemy. Jesus says, before Abraham was born, this guy, thousands of years even before Jesus' time, so a really long time ago, before Abraham was, I am. It's like weird grammar, isn't it? Why would he say it like that? If he's saying, oh, I'm actually older than Abraham, that's one thing. But that's not what he's saying. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus claims to be God, the Son, one with his Father. So, who do we say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Do you believe his claims about himself? Do we believe that he is God the Son, one with his Father? Do we trust that there is no rescue from our mess and our sins apart from through Jesus? Secondly, then, who do people say Jesus is because of us? Do they see us as individuals, us as Caution Baptist Church, us as Christians, and say, I want to know more. I want to know more. What is it that drives you to be like this? Or do they see us and get that sort of feeling? Do we look down on people? Do we give that impression? Do we judge? Remember in Sermon on the Mount, Jesus really gives some clear teaching about judging. Are we just as compromised with sin as anyone else around us? Dishonesty, unfaithfulness, untrustworthiness. Are we trying to escape our difficulties in various ways, focusing on our possessions, using drink, porn? Or are we, yes, still flawed, but becoming more and more like Jesus? Jeff Lucas, a famous pastor, was once in Jerusalem with his wife having a coffee in a coffee shop. And a group of Christians come in, and they're obviously on a trip backpackers looking around all the holy sites in Jerusalem. And he writes that they come in, they sit down, they don't order any food. They don't order any drinks. They instead get their own sandwiches out of their backpacks. They get their own water flasks out. And they sit down and they use the cafe. And then when they're finished, they pack up their stuff and they go. They don't pay anything. How does that kind of thing, what sort of taste does that leave in the mouth of somebody who doesn't know Jesus? You see, the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for God. And I was thinking this week, with the recent news of the British ambassador to the USA, perhaps not representing his country well, we're reminded of the importance that an ambassador, a representative, has. Because people see that ambassador and they come up perhaps with a whole idea of what the country that they're representing is like. We have to go around realizing that the way we behave, the way we treat people, the way we react to situations, our levels of generosity, our levels of patience, if we are known as representing Jesus, what we do is really important. It's actually more important than just reflecting poorly on you, because you are a representative for everybody else and for Jesus. So, how can we represent Jesus well? We need to be like through the Sermon on the Mount teaching. We need to be transformed from the inside out. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be focusing and training our minds to be thinking about really important stuff. That's what it says in the Bible. Think about really good stuff, really important stuff. And that's not just sort of tricking our minds, but actually taking the time that we've been given on this earth and using it for the best possible outcomes. And that is to make Jesus' name known. If we're in the pub chatting with a friend, does our conversation always go to things like football? If you've ever chatted with me in the pub, you'll know that that is not where my mind goes. It's normally microphones, bicycles, music technology, time signatures. Or do we think, how can I be like Jesus in this moment? How can I be Jesus for this person that I'm talking to? What would Jesus do with this time? There's another way. Jesus, when we look through his teaching, he so often uses stories. Stories are powerful. Your story about how Jesus has changed your life, that is so powerful. You guys need to believe that. Wherever you are, whether your story is short or many, many decades long, it is so powerful. Those of you who have recently come to know Jesus, you will be perhaps amazed at how much life has changed in a very short amount of time. If you have followed Jesus for longer, you might think that the rate of change, of progress, seems to be slowing down. But we all have stories of how Jesus is using us. And stories are so much harder to reject than just like wise debating about the philosophy of who Jesus is. Stories are so much harder to put aside. And when I mean stories, I mean I'm not just meaning like make it up. I mean the story of our lives, of God working in our lives. So, what is God speaking to you about at the moment? What is your story at the moment? It's worth reflecting. And when we come to share Jesus, that phrase should be in our mind, sharing Jesus. What I mean is this. Sometimes I have noticed that there's been a really good time at church, and I've really felt that Jesus has spoken to me. And when I get to work on a Monday, I find it very easy to say, church was good. The music, Luke, the music was really good. And people go, oh, yeah, okay, church, yeah, fair enough. Not for me, but that's all right. If you say, God spoke to me, people can be a little bit more nervous about that. If you use the name of Jesus, Jesus is speaking to me about this. That is challenging to people. Have you noticed that? It is really challenging. But we must remember that our mission is to share Jesus, to make followers of Jesus. We're not making followers of church. We're not making followers of Caution Baptist Church. We're not even making followers of God. We're making followers of God through Jesus. And so his name must be on our lips. I think the reason is this. Many people have different ideas about who God is. Some see him as like a lovely, fluffy grandpa. You know, big, great big bushy beard. Others see God as a terrifying, cruel monster. Some people see God as just like nature. Birds. Or like a cosmic force that's out there. A long way away. When we talk about God, people bring their own understanding of who God is to that conversation, to whatever you're telling them. But when we talk about Jesus, it's different. Jesus is a historical figure. We can read the Bible, and there are eyewitnesses who said what he said, who can tell us what he did, what he was like. That makes the claims that he makes about himself so powerful. I'll finish here. Who Jesus claims to be, who you and I say he is really of the utmost importance. It's like top level importance. That is the question. Who do you say Jesus is? And we need to do whatever we can so that others, our friends, our family, our work colleagues, people in this town, people in this country, people anywhere in the world need to have that opportunity to know that Jesus is Lord. That he is the Messiah, the promised one. That he is the Savior of the world. That he is the only way to be saved. And that he is God the Son with his Father, sending the Holy Spirit into the world to bring the kingdom of God around the world. So just as God the Father sent Jesus, who is God the Son, so Jesus is sending us. I'm going to close with this prayer from Lectio this week, the Lectio app. Let's close our eyes and pray. Abba, Father, loving Creator and sustainer of all things. You are God for me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior of the world, you are God with me. Holy Spirit, breath of God, bringer of holiness, peace, and joy, you are God in me. Lord, my God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I yield to you, to your process of formation in my life, conforming me to be like Jesus, whatever the cost, whatever the inconvenience, may I be ready to be made holy and obedient to you. Amen.